After following Krishna consciousness, most of the unwanted habits go away, but still some of them remain. So, should we just leave them? Few things are still persisting, some which a devotee should leave them to progress in Krishna consciousness. So, are these past life bad habits following us? How to control them? Example can be pointing mistakes in others, or a lot of false ego, that sort of mistake, that sort of habits. Now, yes, certain anartha which are deep rooted may have come from the past life, and if by the initial practice of Krishna consciousness some or many bad habits go away, but some remain, now there can be multiple reasons for that. First is, of course, if the impressions are very deep, then they may remain. But another reason is often that we indulge in some things. So, for example, if a person has got a rash, and then the doctor says, don't scratch it and apply the medicine. And if they do both the things, don't scratch it and apply the medicine, it will get cured. But if a person is applying the medicine and then is secretly scratching the rash also, then that rash will take much longer to cure. So in general, those habits persist which we also indulge in. There are certain, for example, the many devotees, especially Indians, they couldn't live without tea before coming to Krishna consciousness. But after you come to Krishna consciousness, the temptation for tea doesn't remain so much. Of course, we can have herbal tea and other things, but that temptation goes away. But there are other some temptations which may indulge in. And then when we indulge then the rash doesn't get cured. It's like that. We are scratching the rash secretly. So, if we minimize or stop the indulgence, then it is relatively easier for us to experience the purificatory potency of Krishna consciousness. But when we indulge privately, then they will take a long time to get cured. That's one reason. So, if you find a temptation persisting, then we have to check whether we are indulging privately. And second thing is, yes, for some things are like fault finding, it is not necessarily bad. In fact, at one level, if you want to train anyone, if we are in some kind of leadership position, at one level training requires finding faults. But the problem is not fault finding, the problem is finding only the faults. If our relationship with others is based only on pointing faults in them, then we strain the relationship, we break down the relationship also. But observing some faults so that we can correct them, so that we can help others. Satsurup Maharaj writes in one of his books that once Prabhupada was going to go to some video shooting program or TV program. And at that time, Prabhupada had been a little sick before that, so he just recovered. Somehow, succumbed a lot of strength and he was going. So, Prabhupada, in that little sickness state, he had applied his tilak a little twisted. So, then he started thinking, should I tell, it's my spiritual master, whatever spiritual master does is perfect. So, he said, should I tell my spiritual master that the tilak is tilted? Or am I supposed to think that because the spiritual master that is, even the tilted is straight? So then he was thinking, then he remembered that at one time when Prabhupada was, in the early days when Prabhupada was writing his book, you know, he had, while dictating, stated a word that was not there in the dictionary only. So then the devotees at that time, Raya Ram Prabhu, Jayadvait Prabhu, he was at that time, Satsurup Prabhu, none of them were sannyasi, they all gathered together, they thought, what should we do? You know, this word is not there in the dictionary only. So one of them said, if a pure devotee has used it, and rather than changing the pure devotee's word, we should change the dictionary. And include the word in the dictionary. Now, the sentiment is fine. We want to appreciate a pure devotee, that is good. But then, one of them said, we should ask Prabhupada. And then they asked Prabhupada, please change the word. So Prabhupada was that way eminently practical. So, the point which I am making is that there are certain situations where fault finding is not really fault finding. It is simply facilitating or increasing the service of Krishna. So the problem is not fault finding. The problem is, as I said, only when fault finding becomes the basis of the relationship. or the central point of the relationship. So that how do we avoid is usually by trying to see the positive things in others. And sometimes if we are habituated to a particular relationship with someone, no, we can't see anything other than the faults. Because that's been the basis of our relationship. But we, if you talk with some other devotees who have a good relationship with that devotee, then through them we can learn the positive side of that devotee. And that we can keep in mind. So, fault finding is definitely not the same as constructive criticism. And the whole principle of Guhyam Akhyati Pruchyati, which is one of the limbs of close Sangha, to share the heart and to hear another share their heart, that also involves. We may consult, I'm doing this, is the right thing to do. Now the devotees may tell us, okay, maybe this should not be done. And they may ask us, you know, this is what I'm trying to do. Is this the right thing? So, it's not that all fault finding is bad, but only when fault finding becomes the center of the relationship, then it becomes a problem. In the Upanishads, there is a prayer that let good thoughts come to me from everywhere. Let good thoughts come to me from everywhere. And this is an exercise which we can try if we have a lot of relationship problems. It's a very tough exercise if you really try to do it. It says, as soon as we see someone, let the first thought about that person be positive. And especially if we have a negative relationship with someone, it will be extremely difficult to find some positive thought. But if we do that, and gradually, that will become a habit. It takes time, but let the first thought be positive. We think like that, then by that tapasya, when one of the austerities of the mind, which manaprasad saumyatvam, manaprasad, satisfaction. Satisfaction is considered to be one of the austerities of the mind. So interestingly, when we say satisfaction, normally we say, I am satisfied. I am not satisfied. We may say, so we normally think of satisfaction as an emotion. But satisfaction is also a decision. Satisfaction is not just an emotion that we get automatically. Satisfaction is also a decision that we make. That means, Prabhupada gives the example and the purport or the analysis, that he says, the more we contemplate on the sense objects, the more we will become dissatisfied. Therefore, the key to satisfaction is to not ponder on the sense objects, but to instead turn our attention to the scriptures where there are many satisfying stories about Krishna. So that means that, so when I say satisfaction is a decision, that means we decide that I will not let my mental energy stay, my attention stay on those things which will make me dissatisfied. Instead, I'll see those things which will make me satisfied. So similarly, when we look at others, everybody has faults and everybody has virtues. So if we want to avoid the fault-finding mentality, we can look at as an exercise, try to look at the good of others. And one very good way to direct the fault, one very good object at which to direct our fault-finding mentality is at the mentality itself. That means, find the faults of fault-finding. And if we do that, then that mentality also gets utilized, and then we also become distanced from the fault-finding mentality.